Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show in your ears. It is in your ears. Unless you're not listening with earphones, then it's playing wherever. It's annoying somebody who doesn't want to listen to a podcast. Now you're listening with them. That's what's happening in their lives. And I have had feedback on that before, by the way. My girlfriend doesn't like your podcast. I'm like, oh, okay. So are you listening with her to annoy her and start a fight? Like, just listen with earphones. Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? And had a friend a while ago go, do you actually agree with him? And it was like, okay, now I'm in your domestic life. When, you know, that's not what I intended to do. Talk a bit of football, have a bit of a laugh, listen with earphones. Although sometimes, you know, people listen while they're cleaning, in the car. Podcasts are a weird one to listen to with other people, you know? It's not like music. It's quite a personal experience. Like, music is meant to be shared, and socially it's pretty normal to be on a dance floor while we're listening to music. But it's not like you'd listen to a textbook with someone else, you know? So podcasts are such a, it's such a deliberate consumption choice. It's not like music. Like, music is a space filler, you know? And some people do listen to certain types of podcasts, but a football podcast to listen to with other people, you know. Anywho, what do I know? What do I know? I'm just a podcaster. Just a podcaster. I hope you've had a great week, whatever you're doing. Chelsea lost 5-0 to Arsenal. My God. Rock bottom. I think it can go lower. I think it can go lower. What are we talking about today? We'll tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. Arne Slot has been announced as the new Liverpool manager. We'll talk about that. And a little bit of this and that. A little bit of this. A little bit of extra chit-chat, you know? A little bit of extra chit-chat. I was supposed to be in Saudi Arabia right now. And that isn't a metaphor. I was meant to be in Saudi Arabia. Was meant to be doing some work in the boxing world, and the event got cancelled. Haven't quite got the reasoning. I think the guy got injured. Anyway, getting into the boxing world. How about that? How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? What happened to that girl? She released a rap song, and she was on Dr. Phil. And then, I don't know. Hopefully she's not a groupie or doing porn, you know? Because that's what people are doing. That's what. Speaking of which, what happened to summer dresses? You know, obviously the sisters are going to say, for so long, men told us what to do and treated women as commodities. You know, it's our time, rise, sisters, or whatever. I don't know what feminists are saying. I don't hang out with any feminists. I'd like to think I'm somewhat of a feminist myself, in that I'm a proponent of women must do what they want, you know? Do what you want. Do what you want. I'm a proponent of that. I'm not saying everyone should be, you know? Who am I to tell people? I would have thought that would make me a feminist, but then there's like feminazis. There's these people that are, and you get them in every part of life, that are just unbearable across the board, you know? But as the sisters, I have to ask you, like, I'm a pretty traditional person. Not pretty, I'm a very traditional man, you know? I am a man. I'm a patriarchal man. I am. You know? What happened to sundresses? Everyone now, you know, everyone dresses like they're auditioning for OnlyFans. And it's the end of the South African summer. I see a lot of, and whatever, like I'm saying, dress how you want, but expect feedback. You know, you know, the great promise of today is I'll just do what I want. No. That's not how it works. You can do what you want, but you must live with the outcomes. Like, you are absolutely responsible for your conduct and how people respond to it. So if people are going to stop wearing sundresses, I'm going to respond to that and go, what happened to sundresses? Is everyone just wearing tight clothing like they want to be on OnlyFans? Is that what's going on? Am I hanging out in the wrong places? But I don't even go to crazy places anymore. I haven't been to I realized the other day, I haven't been to like a proper music festival in like 2 or 3 years. You know? So I don't even do crazy stuff anymore. I'm just walking around, I don't know, Woolworths and Sportsman's Warehouse. Like that's where I spend most of my time. I mean, I don't go to Sportsman's Warehouse, but you get the point. Like I work in running. I'm running, I'm training, I'm at the gym. I'm at restaurants. That's where I am. I live like a middle-aged man because I'm a middle-aged man who's relatively normal and boring. And all I see is OnlyFans outfits, or what I would imagine is on OnlyFans. I've never had an OnlyFans account. I wouldn't be ashamed to tell anyone if I did. Shout out to people who have an OnlyFans account. Whatever. I'm not a prude, you know. I'm not like a moralist. I'm not a moralist. Like, the world is what it is. Everyone has to make money. Like, we live in a capitalist world. People have to make money. Shocker. And shocker. The promise of naked women sells. Oh, okay. Well, that's never changed in human history. So don't clutch your pearls at the idea that people are doing pornography and OnlyFans. That's not my issue. I don't have a problem with that. But what happened to sundresses? Like, sundresses, in my opinion, are one of the greatest things to ever happen to mankind. And there's nothing like it when a lady's wearing a sundress. Nothing like it. Nothing like it when she's doing it right. Doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and be doing it right. That's a song, by the way. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. One of the greatest bands of all time. Anyway, doesn't matter. Daft Punk, if you don't know. One of my favorite bands of all time. Saw them in Prague a couple of years ago. Saw them in Depeche Mode. Hell of a night. Well, I say a couple of years ago. That was 2018. My God. 6 years ago. How old am I? Daft Punk. Unbelievable. If you get a chance to see Daft Punk live, take it. Overpay. Pay five. I remember I paid 7,000 Rand for that ticket. It was Daft Punk and Depeche Mode, two of my favorite bands of all time. I mean, I'm old. I'm 30. I'm 39 tomorrow, actually. It's actually, believe it or not, I don't celebrate my birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday, though. I'm 38. I'm not 39. I'm 39 next year. 38 tomorrow. Holy smokes. Feeling better than ever, by the way. 38. Hell of an age. Feel good. I mean, real good. Anyway, bring back sundresses. Ladies, fine. It is hoochie mama time at the moment. Maybe women are just so frustrated at having been, you know, under the cosh for the history of mankind. Although there has been matriarchs, but whatever. Largely speaking, women were treated as property, you know. Up until, let's call it, the late 19th century. And then romanticism came in. And then human rights came in. You know, 1899, I believe, New Zealand, first place where women voted. 1899, New Zealand. So, there it is. It's my thought for the week. Bring back sundresses. It's too late now, obviously, if you live in South Africa. I'm going to be in Europe for the summer. So, the ladies in Europe rock it. They rock that look, you know. And I like it. I do like it, I must tell you. Listen, nothing wrong with some hot pants. Nothing wrong with all of that. Obviously, it's going to get attention. Or maybe you know what it is. I'm no longer that target market. So I'm moving out. They're not dressing for me. Who needs a 38-year-old? Probably most, I don't know, 28-year-olds and downwards. They're like, who the hell cares what a 38-year-old thinks? I'm trying to attract a 25-year-old or a 28-year-old or whatever. So I'm not dressing for you, grandpa. Get out of my face. It's gross that you even think I should be dressing to appeal to you. I'm like, well, it does matter how you dress. You know, you are sending a message out there and people go, don't dictate how I dress. I'm not dictating. It's just, if you dress that way, I'm like, ugh, brother, what's that? What's that, brother? You know, I'm allowed to have an opinion. Now, the feminists of today will say, no, you're not. I say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Bring back the sundress. Stop holding out on us. You know, nothing like a sundress. Nothing like summer vibes, cocktails, sundress, nice pair of sunglasses. You know what I mean? You know what's gone out of the mix as well? Short shorts. That's gone out of the mix for the ladies. I've noticed that. They don't do that anymore. It's the baggy pants now. Baggy jeans are back. And then Hoochie Mama outfit. Like there is no in between. Everyone's doing the Hoochie Mama. It's probably a size too small. Or I live in South Africa. You know what the African ladies love? The ladies. They like these frilly outfits where it's the pants and top unit, but it's frilled. No. Stop. Cut that. Stop wearing that. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's not good. It's not a good look. It's not. It just isn't. You know what also is not a good look? Jeans. Like, I think I've got a pair of jeans. I haven't worn jeans in like 10 years. Like, do people still wear jeans? Jeans are not a good look. Hey, are they? It's like brung, brung. Hello? Oh, it's the 1990s. They want their dress sense back. What are we talking about? Do people still rock jeans? Surely not, eh? Surely we're just doing like nice pants or tracksuit pants. Tracksuit pants are... I wear tracksuit pants to meetings now. Like, I don't wear... So no matter who I work with, I wear tracksuit pants every day of my life. That is a mission of mine, to wear tracksuit pants for the rest of my life. So I'm in tracksuit pants or very nice pants. No jeans. Who are jeans for? What are we doing? What are we doing with jeans? Saw someone wearing a jean jacket, like the jean to jean. In South Africa, we call it jean to jean the other day. I was like, oh, wow. What a remarkable look. Am I out of the fashion loop here? I mean, contrary to the last couple of minutes of listening, it is important that I interject here and say, I am maybe the least fashionable person you've ever met, but I do like going, oh, wow, that person is dressed nicely, because I'm not a good dresser. I'm not a snappy dresser. I'm not at all. Never have been. Never been a focus point for me. I don't know what's going on. I have been to a weird amount of fashion shows, though, especially when I played football. I used to go a lot in London. Been to New York, been to Paris. It's weird. Fashion's a weird one. Fashion's a weird one. Anyway, bring back sundresses is the point. That's the takeaway here. Ladies, love to hear your thoughts. Should I just shut the hell up? Who am I to tell ladies what to wear? They can wear what they want when they want. Or am I to say, what you're wearing is signaling to who you're trying to attract? I'm looking for ladies in sundresses, not in WWE wrestling suits. Essentially. Like, I mean, that's what people are wearing now. Am I too old? Am I outdated? MKT and Spice. Sundresses. Would love to hear what people... what are your thoughts on sundress? Men and women, by the way. Because it turns out women listen to this show. Turns out of the 6,000 people who listen every week, there are women who listen to the show, which to me is incredible. Incredible. Anyway, shout out to the ladies. But I talk mostly about football. I know what the audience numbers are. They're 65-35. So about 35% of our audience is women. The Spotify numbers tell me that. Spotify and Apple podcast numbers tell me that. I'm not just guessing. 65-35. Sundresses. Love to hear what people think. All right. Let's get into the show. It is a sports show after all. For those of you who know, I don't watch T20 cricket. It's a snore fest. But here's my theory, and I've posed this before. Why don't IPL teams just play 11 batsmen? I don't know why people overpay for a Kagiso Rabada when the cricket fields are the size of a living room and they prepare flat decks and the bats are just getting outrageous. I watched David Miller the other day mishit like 3 sixes in an over and it went way into the crowd. Like way into the crowd, and he's clearly mishit that. But 240 is like a regular score now. By the way, if you don't know, T20 is only 20 overs. That's 12 and over. Like 10 and over is a joke. I saw in 16 overs, Royal Challengers Bangalore, right, with Will Jackson in 10 sixes, chased 200 in 16 overs. Like, I don't know why, if you're in the IPL, why don't you just play 11 batsmen? Why do they pay for bowlers? It's not an even contest. Like, very rarely, it's the exception that bowlers do well. So I don't know why you pay like $1 million for Kagiso Rabada. He's not a valuable asset, not because he's not a good bowler, but because it's not set up for bowlers. So I would just play 11 batsmen and go hammer and tongs from ball one, and you either make 240 or you make 80. Well, like, just go for it. What is the value of the bowlers? Which is why I don't watch T20 cricket. Aren't people fatigued? And now it's the T20 World Cup, by the way. And there's the CSA 20. Like, listen, I like what SA, the sort of T20 movement is doing, perhaps for bringing more people into it, because it's a more fun version. You know, 10% of every sport, if not less, is hardcore fans. In all sports, most of us are casuals. Like, I'm a casual tennis fan now. I'm a casual golf fan. Like, I'm a hardcore boxing fan, hardcore cricket fan, hardcore football fan. So the sport, in order to grow, isn't for me. Like, for me, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing that matters that's left in cricket is the Ashes. And that only happens every 2 years. So you can't have your marquee event every 2 years. It's over. I've got to accept now, it is over. So if you watch IPL, let me know. Am I being ridiculous? I would just play 11 batsmen. I wouldn't even really care about the keeper. And if you are going to be a keeper, you've got to be Jos Buttler. Like, you are batting. I'm picking a batsman keeper, not a wicket keeper batsman. Like, can you bat? Yes. Have you held gloves before? Okay, cool. You got it over the guy who's a specialist keeper. Obviously, there's no specialist keepers anymore. It's all like Bairstow, Buckler, these types of guys, right? Quinton de Kock. So that's who you got to pick. You've got to be Quinton de Kock and these guys. And then just pick batsmen. No bowlers. Play zero bowlers. It doesn't matter who you bowl. The other team's going to go at 15 and over, between 10 and 15 and over anyway. It just doesn't matter. Love to what people think. Do you watch IPL? Like, I'll just follow it on, Crick Info, and then I'll check the result. Like, I can't bring myself to be invested in T20 cricket. Or like IPL. Like, I can't bring myself, like, it doesn't feel real, you know? Like, none of the teams actually belong to the cities. It's like, it's very clear, it's quite mercenary. It's not like the Premier League. Like, Kevin De Bruyne will leave, Man City still belongs to Manchester. Like, these franchises are like now in Dubai, South Africa. You know what I mean? Like, the Dallas Cowboys don't have a franchise in London. Like, Chelsea doesn't have a franchise in Sao Paulo. You know? So those places are rooted in something. Like these teams, it's just mercenary FC. And I know people say freedom of movement, but part of the appeal of Michael Jordan over LeBron James is that Michael feels like he stayed. He stayed in Chicago. He was just at Chicago. Steven Gerrard stayed at Liverpool. Kevin De Bruyne has been at Man City for close on a decade. Frank Lampard, over a decade of service to Chelsea. Like, that consumption, the familiarity of going through the journey with a player, that matters. I don't think the IPL guys value that. They just think, build the cricket and they'll come. But, you know, Ashley Cole, if you're Arsenal, if you're Chelsea, you value his 15 years of service. It was all in the same place. That you grew with Ashley Cole. If you're a Bayern Munich fan, you grew with Arjen Robben. These things matter. You have to feel like you're invested. People want you to be invested. Because you know what fans want from players? It's very simple. Most people don't care what players make. And it's why LIV Golf is struggling. Fans want you to feel like you care as much as they do. Even if you don't. Even if you don't. They want it to feel like you care as much as they do. And in IPL, it's impossible. Because the guys are moving every year, 2 years. He's playing in Australia, Big Bash. Then he's in SA20 with a different name. But it's kind of like, it's not based on anything other than money. And then people become uncomfortable. But they do. Like, that's just, it's not how human beings connect to one another. It's why the first thing people ask you when they meet you, more often than not, what do you do for a living? Are you married? Because they want to know, listen, can I rely on this person? Does this person commit to stuff? It's why people ask you, do you have a degree? It's not because they want to measure you up. Can this person be committed to stuff? It matters to people because we are genetically predisposed to patterns. That's how the mind makes things safe. That's why relationships make people feel safe, because it's a pattern. I'm safe. That's all the human mind, by the way. The human mind wants to simplify the world to create patterns that'll keep you safe. There is nothing else the brain has evolved to do. Nothing else. Trust me. Pleasure is not a real thing. That's not an evolutionary thing. That is very much a modern construct. The human beings are not evolved for comfort. They are not. They're evolved for survival and the proliferation of the species. So we need patterns. We need to know. We need to feel safe. Like, oh, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be here next year. I don't know where Quinton Cox is going to be next year. Like, I don't know where Joss Butler is going to be next year. I don't know what that whole 11 is going to look like. I don't know some of the players. Doesn't feel real. Anyway, pick 11 batsmen. That's what I'd do. Cut the crap. World Cup is in America this year. Could be fun. Could be fun. It'll be at a weird time, though. Weird timeline. Having said that, South Africa, not the audience. England, not the audience. They want India. India and America. Those are the consumption markets in the world for that sport. All right, I want to touch on something else. You know what's been interesting with Big Ange at Spurs? They lost to Arsenal, by the way. Good game, 3-2. But I think the luster has worn off. And it's quite painful to watch. Because I've got it at Chelsea now with Pochettino. You know, these stubborn managers. You can't watch what the new Crystal Palace manager has done in 5 or 6 games and go, these guys are top-notch coaches. Because Ange Postecoglou needs to realize, this is not Scotland. The novelty has worn off. Guys are too good in this league. You need plan B. It feels like Spurs don't have plan B. It's actually a bit painful to watch his resistance to change, to go, it will work. No, it won't. Newcastle figured it out, 4-0. Arsenal, 3-0 first half. To dare to dream is one thing, but you can't keep doing this. You need plan B. This isn't Scotland. You don't have more money than everyone else. Everyone has money in England, which means they can buy talent, they can buy the best coaches, they can buy the best analysts. That's why Spurs have faded. Too clever in the Premier League. Too much money, too much talent across the board, playing and non-playing. It's painful. It's painful to watch, and it's naive. Like, vibes is not a thing, hey? Vibes is not a thing if you want to win. Tottenham are so predictable. Arsenal baited them badly. Baited them so badly. That one ball over the top, Saka's in, the rest is, well, you saw what happened. It's all the same with Spurs. It's similar with Aston Villa. It's just, I think Villa have a better front man, so that they convert a lot more in Ollie Watkins. But they press and then there's nothing else. And Ange has no plan B. Pochettino has no plan B. Pochettino made a slight change with Cucurella going to inverted left back. And, well, would you believe it? From 2-0 down, 2-2. Game changer because he overloaded the midfield. Anywho, I wanted to say Tottenham are in trouble. Ange is in trouble. Because I've seen this before. Maurizio Sarri at Chelsea. If you refuse to change, it's crazy. Because I've seen the other side. Remember when Antonio Conte came to Chelsea? He wanted to play 4-3-3. It's like, oh, I don't have the personnel for this. He changed in that game against Arsenal, 3-4-3. Victor Moses went to right back. Remember that? Alonso, turns out, was the perfect left back for him. And they won the Premier League in his first season. But Conte, like, oh, I don't have the personnel. Pochettino can't do it. Like, I just play 4-3-3. This is what I do. Okay. Ange, 4-3-3, high press. And here's the thing about Spurs, is they don't actually gegenpress. So for those who don't know what the gegenpress is essentially what gegenpress means is that when you lose the ball, you go forward, you don't go backwards. It's what Man City do better than anybody else, and Barcelona under Pep. So the gegenpress, all it means, to simplify it, is when you lose the ball, you don't go back into your shape, you press the other team where they are. So here's the problem with Spurs, is they do the high line, but here's what you have to do when you do the high line. You've got to make sure that the pressure up front is squeezing the ball so that guys can't just pop it over the top. That's why nobody can do it against Man City, because Pep will not tolerate Erling Haaland not pressing. That's why he needs a certain profile of player. That's why you need like Grealish, Bernardo Silva, Jeremy Doku. You need front men who can move and have got legs. Kevin De Bruyne, he will run. He'll run. That's why it worked with Pedro at Barcelona for Pep. Xavi, Iniesta, these guys will run. They'll run. And you have to in that system. But Spurs don't press all the way in. So when guys have time at that level, they're just too good. They ping it over the top. And what you saw with the Newcastle win, and you saw, I thought Odegaard was offside, but he made the proper run of how you beat that high press. In football, they call it the outside in run. So you start wide and then you bend your run. So what it means to bend your run is if you can imagine a player is standing with that last man, he curves his run. So he almost runs back to goal to get back on side, right? But then the outside in is not only do you curve back towards goal, but then you dip inside. So if you're on the right, you'll dip into the left, you'll sort of invert and make that run between the fullback and the center back. It's a highly technical skill that the real top guys do it. That outside in run is special. If you'd like to see an example, Pedro had that skill. Iron Robin was unbelievable at his peak at that. I'm trying to think, you know who's really, really good at it is Kingsley Coleman. Although he's always injured, you never get to see it. Instead of running away from the ball, so being a chalk on your boots winger, is they'll start wide, and the Robin's the best one I've ever seen at it. Start wide, and then run inside the fullback. So in this case, if Iron Robin's on the right, he's running past the left back's right shoulder. But he bends his run at the very last minute to ensure that he's onside, and then he cuts inside so that the ball isn't a straight pass and the keeper has the advantage. You can also play it at an angle when you give your guy that angle. It's a high level skill. And if you go and watch the Arsenal Tottenham highlights, Odegaard's offside, but that is how you beat that high press. Especially if they're not squeezing. Because then you're in, right? But also, as I say, your player can play an angled ball so that it isn't straight to the keeper. When you go outside in, he can almost ping it to the corner of the 18-yard box, and then you're in. And these guys are good enough now. If you play golf, it's like to put that 9-iron on it. They loft it, and the ball is so light now that these guys can really put it on a string. It's painful to watch Spurs. No plan B. No good. I don't know about Ange. Like, it's over now, right? They're not making top four. What do you do? Because he's not changing. Like, he's had the opportunity to change. And he's got players who can play in a back five. He's not changing. And I don't know if this can get any better. Like, are they going to get a 22-year-old Kaká instead of Madison? Like, they can't upgrade. Like, no one's leaving a big club to go to Spurs. This is what it is. And stop playing Son at nine. He's the best left wing in the world. Just play him on the left. Like, why would you take away from your strength? Spurs' best player is Son Heung-min on the left. You've got Richarlison. And even then, Brendan Johnson should rather play up front. Play Timo Werner up front. Why are you moving Son? I'd love to hear what Spurs fans have to say. MKT inspires. MKT at the MKT show. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, by the way. The MKT show. The MKT show. I would highly recommend you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Otherwise, you're going to miss stuff soon. I mean, we'll announce when we're going back live on here, but go and subscribe. 3 more weeks, by the way. I still haven't decided. If I win the Fantasy Premier League, do I keep the money? I'd love to hear from people. What should I do? Should I, like, if I win, do I keep the money, or does the person that comes second deserve the prize? I think I should keep the money, personally. Like, the world is built on winners and losers. Right? If the only narrative human beings have is empire, it is zero sum. In order for me to win, you have to lose. So if I win, I think I should keep the money. What I'll do is I'll send an EFT from one of my accounts to another. You know what I mean? I think that's the way to do it. If I don't win, I owe somebody R1,000. There you have it. There you have it. And by the way, you have to have been playing, and I did say this at the beginning of the season, you have to have been playing from week one. You can't be, oh, I'm doing well, and then join late. Because I can check that, by the way, on the fantasy thing. So it's not like, yeah, it's not like I can cheat. You know, if somebody says, oh, yeah, but I joined week one, I can check when you joined. It allows you as an admin to check. So MKT inspires, if you want to get in the mailbag, MKT at the MKT show for the electronic mail. For the electronic mail. All right, what I do every Monday, where I was right, where I was wrong. Bring back the summer dress, by the way. I was right there. I'm absolutely right. Bring back the summer dress. But I tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. I make predictions throughout the year, throughout the season, in general, chit-chat. And then, because I was properly raised, I'm able to admit where I was right and where I was wrong. You know, most people just want to take the credit for, remember when I told you? Remember when I told you? Okay, she's like, I was like, once. You were right once. You know those people. Like, have to always remind you. Remember when I told you? I told you this would happen. Like, okay, we're here now though. Can't we just, no. This is a good lesson. Let's remember this, because you have to listen to me. Otherwise, this thing's not going to work. Like, okay, you were right. I thought we were in a relationship. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure there's people who know what I'm saying. You don't have to reach out to me, but I know that's hitting a spot for someone. Like, okay. Okay, like when I'm right, I don't tell you. I'm not saying which particular demographic are often like that. I'm just saying there's a demographic that's often happy to remind you when you're wrong, and then amnesia when they're wrong. You know, I'm not saying which. It could be men, could be women. I'll let you decide. I'll let you decide. Anyway, because I'm properly raised and I identify as a patriarchal man, I'm able to say when I was right and when I was wrong. All right, let's get into it. Where I was right, Man City are just too good. This current Pep era is just too good. And it's not a mistake. Since they bought the club, they've run it properly. It's run like a Fortune 500 company. They don't mess around. Doesn't matter who the coach is. The systems are so strong. They get the best personnel. They get the best people above the coach. So all the coach has to do, all Pep Guardiola has to do, is manage. That's all he has to do. They get him the players he wants. They get him the board that he wants. Everything is the best in the business. And then Pep gets the players he wants. And it is all run at an elite level. I was right. Man City, too good. They'll win their fourth title in a row. They won't be stopped. And come on, Arsenal aren't doing anything. Where I was wrong, Eddie Howe, one loss in five. Looks like he's going to keep his job. I still think they should have fired him last year, but I was wrong. The man is going to come probably top six, top seven, depending on what Man United do. Eddie Howe, Newcastle, on fire. They've only lost one of their last five, three wins in those five. Congratulations to Newcastle. Where I was right, Pochettino is so poor. You know, I worry that things can't get better. 5-0 loss. And we're not talking about Real Madrid here. We're not talking about Man City or Liverpool. We're talking about Arsenal, a team that hasn't won a title in 20 years. Like, I'm sorry, Arsenal is not a serious club. And this might affect Arsenal fans, but sorry, you are what you are. They're a nice club, but they're going to get to a quarterfinal and lose in the Champions League. They're going to choke. In fact, stop saying choke. This is what they are. It's been 20 years of not winning. So Arsenal are not an elite football club when it comes to winning. Sorry. They're a nice football club. They're a historic football club. They are not an elite club. You can't be losing 5-0 to Arsenal. You just cannot. That is unforgivable. At two, tuck the team in and just stop being so gung-ho and open with a backup right back in Alfie Gilchrist. I was right. Pochettino, he's poor. It's not going to get any better. I don't see how it gets better by next season. It's a big problem for Chelsea. Where I was wrong, Aston Villa, they're going to make top four. I thought it wouldn't last, but here they are. High press, and they just keep doing the same thing, and Unai Emery gets a new contract, and Ollie Watkins keeps scoring, and John McGinn keeps dominating the midfield, and Douglas Luiz keeps dominating the midfield, and Polish right back Matty Cash, with his model-like looks, keeps delivering from the right. Luka Dean from the left keeps delivering. Isaac Konsa, rock solid. They've got the biggest shithouse of a keeper, World Cup champion Martinez. He keeps doing it. I was wrong. They're going to make top four. Congratulations, Aston Villa. That is Birmingham's club. Aston Villa. I was dead wrong there. Where I was right, Sean Dyche is perfect for Everton. They've survived again with an 8-point deduction, by the way. They're going to survive easily. They've assured their survival. He's another David Moyes. Football is unique of all the sport. The manager should fit the club profile. Jurgen Klopp fits at Liverpool. He is Liverpool, and Liverpool is him. Working class, grinding, don't want to overspend, always overcoming. That's Jurgen Klopp's personality. Sean Dyche, your typical English, dig deep, and the Scousers will love him. And Everton are the second club in that city. So he's perfect. Underdog. Gruff. Rough. Perfect. His voice even is Liverpool. Working class. It's like his voice, that gruff voice, sounds working class. Now, I've listened to him speak. He seems like an extremely articulate guy. But his personality, he seems unforgiving. He seems like a grinder. And we've seen the football he plays. It hasn't really changed from his Burnley days. It's rough and tough. And that is Liverpool. That is Everton. So I was dead right. It works. Keep him. Keep him. Having said that, I was dead wrong. West Ham and David Moyes, even that doesn't work, right? West Ham is in London. I mean, in a very rough part of London, East London, just so you know. Ironically, those who don't know, East London is where West Ham is. West Ham is in the east of London. Anyway, come on, you Irons. They've subsequently moved, of course. They no longer play at the Bullion Ground. They now play at the Olympic Stadium. So they are nicer part as their home stadium of London. But the club itself, the Irons, they are from East London. And David Moyes is not really that guy. He's Scottish, rough. He doesn't suit the profile, especially of these owners, right? They used to own the sex toy shop, and they like glamour in it. London, in it. Gold, Messias Gold, and I forget what the other David's name is. He doesn't work there, but I was wrong. I thought, oh, this guy's won you a title in Europe. Keep him. No. Because Ruben Amorim was in town for a job interview. While you've got a manager who's done absolutely incredibly over the last 3 years. Nope, he's got to go. I was dead wrong. I thought they'd keep him. I'm like, don't try and be happier than happy. This is your guy. You are a profile of club that it should just be happy to be in the league. Turns out I'm wrong. West Ham, ambitious. David Moyes, get the hell out of here. Thanks for the title. Thanks for the European title. Get the hell out of here. Wow. Amorim. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. MKT inspires. MKT at the MKT show. Would love to hear your thoughts. 5-0 Chelsea. Ugh. Worry. I'm worried. It's very, very worrying. Potch's inability to be flexible and change is very worrying. You know what worries me the most about Pochettino as a Chelsea fan? With Arteta and Klopp, although they lost for 4 years and 5 years, respectfully, you could see immediately what Arteta was trying to do. You could see immediately what Klopp was trying to do. I still don't know what Chelsea's best formation is. Forget about the players. And I don't want to stop telling me about injuries. Everyone has injuries. I don't want to hear it. What's Chelsea's formation? Is it 4 at the back? Is it 3 at the back? Is it 2 at the back with inverted fullbacks? I still don't know what the pattern of play is at Chelsea. With Liverpool and Arsenal, I could see immediately what the pattern... And listen, you don't have... Most football fans now are more educated than ever. You don't have to have played professional football like I did to be able to see what you want to see, right? Like, fans know what they're watching. Like, fans know what Brentford are doing. Fans know what Brighton are doing. They know what Man City is doing. You can see they want to play out from the back in a certain way of transitioning between the lines. It's quite clear quite quickly. Look at Crystal Palace now, how quickly they've developed that gegenpress and get it into Eze's feet as soon as possible. It's very clear. However we do it, get it to him quickly. That's clear. That's what Crystal Palace are doing. And then when we lose it, everyone has to run but him. Get it into Eze's feet. He's our best player. Find a way to get it to him early. That is the game plan, right? Your triangles will be in and around that. And quick, fast movement, and it must get to him quickly. What is the pattern at Chelsea? I haven't seen it at all. It feels like he's just going, okay, Cole Palmer, do something. It's like when Eriksen was at Spurs. Remember that season? They went to the Champions League final. Eriksen was just... He was world class for that season. And it feels like Eriksen then is Cole Palmer now. I mean, Cole Palmer hasn't died, obviously. And at the time, Eriksen hadn't died. But you get what I'm saying. It just feels like, guys, I'm going to set you up in a formation, all the best, get out there and make it happen. That's not how you win, not at the top. You've got to be a little cleverer than that. And you can't just be intense guy. And it feels like that's what he is. You know, I speak to Spurs fans and they're like, we told you. We told you that he's limited. He's just passion guy. And passion is meaningless to me. Everyone's passionate. It is meaningless to me. Stop saying passion as like a lead thing. That must be the icing on the cake, not the cake. You've got to coach your team. Look at Crystal Palace and what they're doing. Look at Crystal Palace. It's taken the guy 5 games and it's like a whole different team from Roy Hodgson. It's like, did he buy 6 players? No. It's the same team. He's implemented his principles, right? Because the principles of play must never change. Your shape can change, whether you play low block, high block, your principles of play must never change. Crystal Palace, it's clear. Play fast, play intense, squeeze the ball when we don't have it. With Chelsea, they don't press, they don't look, there's no shape with and without the ball. I don't understand it. And it's not a lack of talent. Oh my God. Look how much he spent. Whether he spent it or the board, change the formation. If you don't have the players 4-3-3, change the formation. Antonio Conte, Jose Mourinho, Carlo Ancelotti, they don't care what players they have. They'll just change to that for, like, oh, okay, I don't have fast wing backs. Well, Pep doesn't have a left back. He plays an inverted left back. He's playing a centre back in Guardiola. Play 3 at the back, 2 at the back. City will play 2 at the back, 5 at the back, 4 at the back. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because they're well coached. And they'll change, by the way, to who's available. Not Chelsea. Wowzers. 5-0. I'm just grateful they didn't get 6-0. Remember when Chelsea beat... some of you may be too young. But Chelsea beat Arsenal 6-0 under Jose Mourinho. And thank God. They didn't get to that. We've always got that over Arsenal fans, you know? Oh. Anyway, that is what it is. Let's finish off on this. Arne Slot from the Netherlands is going to replace Jurgen Klopp. Fabrizio Romano announced that a couple of days ago. Feyenoord manager Arne Slot will replace Jurgen Klopp. It's been a mixed response because I don't think most Premier League fans know who he is. I didn't. I'll be honest. I remember the Feyenoord team that got to the, I think, Europa League final. They were playing that football and he was all the buzz. He won the Eredivisie 2 years ago, 2022-2023. So it's a year ago. And, you know, people are underwhelmed. I mean, Jamie Carragher said something which I found interesting. He said he wanted a proven winner like Thomas Tuchel. My first thought was, you know, fan is short for fanatical, so you shouldn't be a reasonable person when you talk about your own football club. But I thought that one's a bit cheap because Liverpool aren't a dominant force in English football. Like in the professional era, it goes Man United, Chelsea, Man City in England. I'm just speaking of the English context. In the professional era, I'm just talking about the English Premier League. Like, Liverpool have just been a rude interruption to the standing order. For the last 15 years, it's been Chelsea and Man City. Like, we know what it is. We know what time it is. Like, even Fergie towards the end could feel that, man, oh man, the noisy neighbours. But the reality is it's Man United, it's Chelsea, and it's Man City. So what that means is Liverpool fans need to relax. It's one title in 30 years. You are no longer a relevant club when it comes to winning in England. Most people who go Liverpool are the biggest club in England or whatever heard from their fathers and grandfathers. Like we're talking about like Kenny Dalglish when he was playing. Is when Liverpool were winning league titles in England. When he was... Do you know how long it's been? Kenny Dalglish won the Premier League with Blackburn as a manager. By the way. As a manager since Liverpool were last won it. So Kenny Dalglish, the former Liverpool manager, by the way, he won titles at Liverpool as manager, went on to Blackburn and won it as a manager. That's how long it was before Liverpool won a title. 30 years. It's still one title in 31 years. So don't get arrogant enough to go, oh, what are we going to do? You're just going to go back to what you are, which is fifth or sixth most dominant club in England in the professional era. It's just going to go back to normal now. It's like, okay, the interruption's over. Like, okay, cool. Because what you must remember is Apple also... There was a while where, remember when BlackBerry was trying and there was 2 or 3 years and then Apple were like, no, We were just reloading. We were just reloading, like, cut the nonsense. And Samsung went through a little bump, but it's like, no, we the guys. So for Jamie Carragher to say they wanted to go for a winner like Tuchel, like, do me a favor. Jamie, it's one title in 30 years. You are not Real Madrid. You are not Man United. You are not Chelsea, and you are not Man City in the Premier League era. And no, football didn't start in 1992, but 30 years is a long time. It's a lot of data to go, oh, ooh. Sorry. So I found that a weird comment. Like, the way he said it was almost like, oh, Liverpool deserve to be in the winner's circle. No, they don't. Because they aren't in it. And you get the life you deserve. I'm sorry. They are not in it. I am sorry. Liverpool are not a factor in England. It's been a cute story for 8 years with Jürgen. It's still one title. I don't want to hear about Man City. You're the guy, you're not. I didn't hear Jose Mourinho complain when he had to compete against the greatest to ever do it in Alex Ferguson and win back to back. I didn't hear Carlo Ancelotti complaining when he had to compete against Alex Ferguson. I didn't hear Antonio Conte when he had to compete against Alex Ferguson when they won. I didn't hear any of the Man City managers, Pellegrini, Mancini, when they beat Alex Ferguson. I didn't hear any of them complain. So I do not... There were multiple Chelsea and Man City titles while Fergie was there. Unless people are suggesting Pep Guardiola is better than Fergie, then okay, I'll let you argue with your uncle, blood. So it's been a nice story, but we're just going back to normal now. Like, okay, Man City are going to dominate and Chelsea will probably be back. And things will just go back to normal. Like, those are the two most ambitious clubs in England financially and best run over the last two decades. I'm not saying it because I'm a Chelsea fan. I'm saying, look at the results. 5 Premier League titles and 2 Champions League titles since Arsenal lost at anything, by the way. That's since, do you know, since Arsenal lost one title, since Liverpool have won title in 30 years, Chelsea have 5 in that time. Chelsea have 5 in 20 years. And 3 European titles. I mean, you can't count the Europa League. Let's call it 2 European titles. So, I mean, Liverpool have what? 2 Champions Leagues? And 1 title in the last 30 years? Chelsea have 5 titles and 2 Champions Leagues. So, it's been a much better, more productive 30 years for Chelsea and Man City than it has been for Liverpool. Having said that, I can see why they went with Slot. You know, I was reading some articles. Melissa Reddy reported that part of the financial fair play and the way Fenway Sports likes to run Liverpool is that sustainable way. Slot is known for developing young players and getting more out of talent. She reported that in an article I read on Sky Sports. So, again, the football identity of Liverpool, even though we kind of know largely it's nonsense. They've got the most expensive goalkeeper, centre-back, and I think the second most expensive striker in Premier League history. But whatever, let's just go with the dumb romance that anyone who's not Chelsea and Man City apparently can't spend money or doesn't spend money, and it's all just pure magic. Anyway, let's just go with that. Liverpool aren't Man City. They aren't Chelsea under Roman Abramovich, right? Although they've become that, actually. But I don't think Fenway Sports is going to keep churning out at that rate. It's like, they've spent for this cycle now. Somebody's going to have to come in and play with these players. This isn't Roman Abramovich who's going to give you another 200 million next year if you fail with this bunch. That's not happening. It's not Todd Boehly who's going to spend a billion in 2 years. It's not. Like, Darwin Nunes, they are all in now. Like, they are trapped. Whoever comes in, play your football, that's going to suit that guy. Because we spent 100 million on him. They do not go back on that. Diaz, we spent big money on him. McAllister, we spent big money on him. They will expect you to develop those guys. Szoboszlai, develop him. Play, find a way. That's £60 million spent. So Fenway and Liverpool are not looking for money managers. Mourinho was never in with a shout. Who else were they going to get? That's my question. Like, who else were they going to get? Amorim, big risk. And then from there, like, everyone else is occupied. The best managers have retired, and Mourinho is not an option. He's a former Man United and Chelsea guy, and I couldn't think of a more anti-Klopp guy. And Mourinho doesn't work for... his personality doesn't work for Liverpool as a city. Forget the football club. Mourinho is above it all, right? He's London. He's London. He's Rome. He's that. He's Milan. He's not Liverpool. He's not a working class guy. He just is not. I mean, the special one, you know? What was Jurgen Klopp's thing? The ordinary one, or whatever he called himself. So, Mourinho wasn't... like, who else could they get, is my other question. No, there's nobody else available. Not at the elite level anyway. So, you've got to look forward and be innovative. So, Liverpool reverted to being a top six club. Jurgen Klopp, it was fun. He was brilliant for the league. I think you've got to view the Premier League as a TV show. And he was a hell of a character. And he brought so much to the league. He did. You know, as much as... I don't put him in the top three. You know, it goes Fergie, it goes Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho, then Pep Guardiola, and then Arsene Wenger, and then you can have an added to whoever you think's next. It's important to win, hey? These cute stories and pumping up the fans, that's nice. That's cute. The documentary will be beautiful. But at this level, you got to win. There are no life lessons in the English Premier League. I'm sorry, it's about winning. At that level, it is about winning. It's not about anything else, really. Obviously, the storytelling. Obviously, the connection to your club. But you've got to win. To get into that rarefied air. And he just didn't win enough. And I'm not a proponent of the story has to make me feel good. It's like, no, this is a professional sport. Win. And then we'll get to the feel-good story. Because now, Fergie, the stories, if you're a United fan, will make you feel good. Jose Mourinho, if you're a Chelsea fan. If you're Arsene Wenger... winner. Three titles. Winner. He's a winner. He's a bona fide winner. Pep Guardiola, winner. Then we can do the pretty stuff. Just win, and then we'll tell the stories. We'll do the fables. He didn't win enough. And stop telling me about the dynasty of Pep Guardiola. I just do not want to hear it. Mourinho dethroned the very greatest team in Barcelona when he's at Real Madrid. So I don't want to hear that. Are you a winner or not? I just don't. I'm so sick and tired. Because Jurgen is the guy you want to go for a brewski with. So people make excuses for him. You know, people like people who make them feel comfortable. Nobody wants to go for a beer with Jose Mourinho. He seems like a know-it-all. What he is a habitual winner. Habitual winner. Fergie, poh, you know, brutal. Wenger, ruthless. Early on, ruthless. When he was winning, that's first 6-7 years. Oh, ruthless. Obsessed, maniacal. Left his wife, remember? You must remember, Arsene Wenger got divorced because of football. True story, by the way. Go and look it up. Maniacal, absolutely obsessed. All it was for him is football and winning. Go and watch the Arsenal documentary. I think it's available online. I forget what it's called. I think it might be called Invincibles. Where he says, my greatest regret was losing my family over football because everything was football. Winner. Got to win. And one Premier League title is terrific. Let's not underplay what Jurgen did. But close is not good enough. No, nobody remembers the guy who came second to Usain Bolt those 3 years. Those three Olympics. Like, that's just what it is. So, cute story. Keep it moving. It was fun. Great character. The English game and the world football was better for it. Jurgen brings his heart to it and brings everything to it. Slot is a risk, but he's safe. He's a risk in the sense that you don't know. But it's safe in the sense that nobody at Liverpool is going to be disappointed when they lose now. It's like, oh man, okay, top. Hell of a drop off from Jurgen. Which is a smart decision from the ownership. I think the last thing you need is like Jose Mourinho and then it doesn't work. And then what? Now what? Now it's really bad. Now it's like, it's a pretty soft landing. And listen, Fenway is not stupid. They know what they're losing in Jurgen Klopp is special. there will be a drop-off. If you're a Liverpool fan, just be prepared for a drop-off. And what you are is 6th, 7th. That's what Liverpool has been since I've been alive. 6th, 7th, 5th, 4th. On a good year, 4th. But in reality, 5th, 6th. And the show goes on. In Liverpool, Jamie Carragher. Trent Alexander-Arnold, mate. Europa League. To be in Europa League in Europe. Jurgen's gone, mate. I'd love to hear what people think. I don't buy into this hype of just history. Like, I'm not into the Liverpool-Arsenal thing, hey? I'm just not into it. Like, it's cool. Oh, obviously, Arsenal. And I like the football banter. But I don't take Arsenal or Liverpool that seriously. I'm like, I'm aiming at Man United and Man City. As a Chelsea fan, those are the clubs I look at. I go, I want what Man City have. I want what Man United have. I do not care what Arsenal are doing. They've been awful for 20 years. You think I want to replicate what they're doing? No, thank you. Liverpool have won title in 30 years. That is not what anybody, I would think, Chelsea fans are chasing. And it's easy to beat up on Man United. But what they did for 20 years under Fergie is insane. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be Liverpool. I do not want to be Arsenal. I do not. Those are losing clubs. And I don't say that because they're rival clubs. I'm saying it because they haven't won anything in 20... Do you know Arsenal are going to go 21 years without a title? Do you know how long 21 years is? 21 years without a title. And listen, with Arsenal, you got to keep it real. We may go my lifetime without them winning a title. I'm 38 years old. I may die before Arsenal win another title. Because it's just not in them. It's not their thing. And Liverpool as well. It's just not your thing. Leave it to United. Leave it to Chelsea. Leave it to Man City. And you can fill up the numbers. That's what's going on right now. Things are getting back to normal. Because I hear Arsenal fans and I hear Liverpool fans. They think this is going to carry on forever. They think winning is easy. Like, oh, we're winning, so we'll deserve it next year. No. Not how it works. Not how it worked with Fergie. Pep is not going anywhere. It looks like Pep might go for Fergie's record. He might. And I don't know what would stop him. Like, the one thing that stopped the madness was Roman Abramovich, right? Roman and Jose came in and stopped the madness. Fergie could have gone 6 or 7. If Roman Abramovich doesn't come in then, Arsenal were finished. Right? Remember, Arsenal won the league the year before Mourinho came in. And then Mourinho came in and then changed the face of English football. But if he hadn't come in then, because what you've got to remember is when Jose came in, some guy from Portugal, what's his name? Cristiano something. Anyway, it'll come to me. Cristiano something. Signed, remember, that season. He signed 02-03, I think. So it was the season that Arsenal won the league for the very last time. And then Mourinho came. So I forget what the series of events was, but Arsenal won the league the season before Mourinho came. And then that was obviously... And then United... Because remember, whilst Abramovich was there, United went 3 in a row. Remember that? That was Ronaldo, Tevez, Rooney. They were just unstoppable. That whole thing was just madness. Tevez, remember they were already 2 in a row and then Tevez joined. And then they were just unstoppable. Carrick, Vidic, Evra. Oh my God. Van der Sar. Lord have mercy. What a team. What a team. But without Abramovich's strength, they are Man City then. But Chelsea came in and interrupted that and sustained it. You know? So I think we must just be careful to fall in love with these great stories of history. Is Arsenal and Liverpool are probably going to go back to normal sometime soon. I think you know that and I know that. Somewhere deep down in the fans' hearts, they know what's coming. Like, Liverpool fans know what's coming. They know what's real. They're not idiots. Jurgen was special, but it was the exception and not the rule. Slot. If you're a Liverpool fan, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Are you happy? Would you have gone for somebody else? Should they have gone for Xabi Alonso now? Jose Mourinho, would you have gone for Mourinho? Would you have gone for Tuchel? Because Tuchel is available. Now you got Uli Hoeneß talking madness. It's a Mazzalin and Munich blood. So, interesting times. Interesting times. I've got a really interesting week. I should have been in Saudi Arabia right now. My mindset. Man, that would have been fun. Haven't been to Saudi for a long time. My mother lived in Saudi when I was younger, but I was too young at that time to sort of really remember it. We used to go to, there was a compound where all the, she wasn't a diplomat at that stage. She was just a boring old doctor, but she lived in a compound and I kind of remember it, but I think I was too young. I was older, like 4 or 5. I kind of remember Saudi a little bit. But you know, when you live in a compound, you don't really live in Saudi Arabia. So I was kind of looking forward to going to Riyadh and just seeing it from an adult lens. Because I haven't been back to Saudi since then. I haven't been back to what they call the kingdom. So anyway, event got cancelled. But I'll be going to Saudi sometime, hopefully later this year, for more work. If things pan out and we can work together. So I hope you have a great week, whatever you're doing. Premier League coming to an end. Man, oh man, that's sad. Like, what do you do when there's no football? Like, I love... Okay, well, rugby's a joke now. I mean, I love rugby. The Springboks, I guess, are coming up. But and I guess the transfer window and activity is cool. But what do people do? At least this year, saving grace. You've got the Euros and then you've got the Olympics, right? Thank God. Thank God. Or thank Allah or the spaghetti monster or whoever you pray to. But I cannot tell you how much I hate those 8 weeks without football. And when I say football, I mean the Premier League. Like, the Champions League's nice to have, but in the Champions League, I just want to watch quarterfinal onwards. So, man, 3 weeks left of the Premier League, huh? 19th May. So a bit more. Oh, terrible team to think about. But at least I'll be at the Euros, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in the mix, so at least it'll be enjoyable and I'll be like at a festival of football. It'll be like a music festival for a football fan. I can't think of a better thing for myself. So at least I got that going. You feel me, player? You feel me? Are you feeling me, dog? Are you feeling me? Do you feel me? Hope you have a great week. Whatever it is you're up to, whatever you're planning to do. Hopefully you get the new job you want. Pay your taxes. I'll give you the Bible, the gospel, as per Mpo Mgale, good old Mpizi Mgale. If you do exactly what Mpo Mgale says you should do, Mpo Mgale, one of the greatest humans I've ever met, one of the funniest human beings to ever live, good friend of mine. Well, I consider him a friend. I don't know what he considers me. But he has manifesto. I'll leave you with this. Basalan. He says, this is how you win at life. Do the following. Wake up. Go to work. Do your job. Right? Go home. Go to bed. That is the Mpo Mgale manifesto. Oh, so sorry. I've missed a huge step out there. Let me start again. Wake up. Go to work. Do your job. Right? Go home. Pay your taxes. Don't do crime. That's the important one that I left out. Don't do crime. Go to bed. Wake up. Go to work. And by the way, there's a second step to this. So wake up. Go to work. But when you're at work, there's another step. Do your job, pay your taxes, and don't do crime. That is the manifesto. Wake up, go to work, do your job, pay your taxes, and don't do crime. Simple as dimples. Impo Mogali. Impo Mogali, ladies and gentlemen. That is, that is quote unquote from the legend himself. I'll say it one more time. Wake up. Go to work. Do your job. Pay your taxes. And don't do crime. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, I am the hell out of here.